said, wake up, puff.
This is Mix 94.5's Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
Hey podcasters, Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here.
On today's catch up, we check in with Dennis Cometti.
Michael Thompson, Tomo from Nine News updates us on all things COVID.
And we find out the weird things you've been resorting to whilst in isolation.
Oh, don't forget those highlights from the One World Together concert either.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
The one and only Dennis Cometti. We've missed his voice, his dulcet tones and his wit. G'day, Den. How are you, mate?
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Very well, Dennis. Lovely to hear your voice. Are you and the lovely V doing anything unusual or different in isolation that you wouldn't normally?
I've got to say, not much has changed in the Cometti household, really. Although my wife and I don't shake hands as often as we used to, and I miss that. I spend a fair bit of time on the computer making playlists and things, just killing the time. But I'm enjoying myself. I think, I'm enjoying myself. It'd be nice to be out and about too. But nothing much has changed for people of my age, I don't think.
Dan, you've seen more footy than most of us have had hot dinners. Are you missing it? Are you missing the footy?
Yes and no. I mean, there's certainly a lot being written about it. It'd be tough to be a footy writer right now, wouldn't it? I mean, there's not a lot of actual grist for the mill out there, although I do like the reminiscing part, those old articles and things. They're pretty good. I don't mind them at all. Just before I get onto the footy, actually, though, I just want to talk about an incident I happened to fall into, and I think that it's probably an important thing to mention. I went midnight shopping a couple of weeks ago. I went to a supermarket and they had REM playing very loud. Now, people of my age are unsettled by certain things.
Yep.
And REM was singing "The End of the World as We Know It." I've got to work the shots. Careful with the music.
Mind you, Den, the next thing he says is, "I feel fine." So he's accustomed to the isolation.
Yeah. Well, is that when celebrities go shopping at midnight? Because otherwise you get harassed.
I'm staggered into tomatoes by the time he said he felt fine.
Dennis, you mentioned we're going to talk about footy, and of course you've mentioned the sports journalists, and Lachie Hunter became big news all of a sudden, perhaps even bigger than it would have been. That's the Bulldogs player in trouble for drunk driving.
That's right. Yeah, not a good look, is it? And obviously a few teammates were involved. That's, I suppose, the good thing the football club can take from it. They stick together when they're not at the club. But hardly a fine moment for football, and the Bulldogs should know better because they're set for a good season, I would think. But what caught my eye amongst the footy staff was that last week a couple of coaches made relevant points, and I thought both of them scored. Luke Beveridge and Damien Hardwick were talking about the draft age. Now, Beveridge said it should be 19, Hardwick said it should be 20, and that is important stuff, I reckon, and they're both on the right track. I agree with Hardwick, it should be 20, and I often wonder about how many lives have been harmed by the draft. I reckon plenty of those young players have felt the effects. I mean, Jesse Hogan is in the news today.
Yeah.
So 17 or 18, you go off interstate. Imagine being rookie listed interstate. I mean, the club itself doesn't know whether you can play. And once they work out you can't, you're shot. You just stick around and do nothing. At age 17, too, it's a big year, isn't it, at school? So I think the draft should wait. 20 is the age, I reckon. And that was something that sort of slid under the radar. That was a big story to have two prominent coaches come out and say that the draft age should be changed. But, of course, that's not necessarily the most important thing going on at the moment.
No, but Dennis, you know, they say that even at 17, the cognitive function of teenagers, like their brains haven't even fully developed. Have their bodies developed? Like, should they be putting their bodies under such pressure when they're 17 years of age? Is it doing more damage?
Well, I don't think they should. I think it's just, in so many ways, it's disruptive to their lives. I think they could wait an extra couple of years, just bulk up a little bit and play a little more football. And I think what it could do is lengthen their careers at the other end too. But we're dealing with footballers here, so sometimes the IQ doesn't come into it as much as with other people in the community.
And Dan, is it possible that clubs could, you know, technically draft a player, but that young person stays at home and continues to, you know, do their schooling and play for their local club, but being, you know, owned, for want of a better word, by an AFL team?
Well, I think the age is too early to know exactly how good they are. I mean, sure, some guys stand out, like Walsh at Carlton a couple of years ago, quite outstanding. I mean, he was a player who picked himself, and you go back to Judd and that draft with Ball, and it was a great draft. They weren't the number one picks. I mean, one of the veterans from Hawthorn was one of the number one picks. He was the number one pick, rather. So that sort of thing, I think, is not the way to do it. I think you just let the players mature playing football in their local competitions. But it's a radical change for football, whether they'll go that way. But I'm sort of enthusiastic because now the coaches are making the right noises.
And, Dan, do you think if we get to the end of May and the AFL, Lockie comes out and says, OK, we're going to have footy hubs, there'll be footy in a bubble. What do you think about that? Or bubbles across Australia?
Well, I don't know about that. You'd see a lot of work for Lockie and myself if they all sort of reside in Perth. So immediately it's all about self, of course. But
the other Lockie, yeah.
Yeah, you're asking a lot of players to leave their families and come into state. A lot of them have got small kids and what have you. I mean, that would be very disruptive. I don't know if the players want to do it, and I'm sure they've got a powerful enough union to sort of take the necessary steps if they don't. But I would say it's a big reach. And, of course, we're still not out of the woods with this pandemic yet. So let's see how that plays out too. I mean, football's got a place, but it's not at the forefront just for the moment.
It's great to hear your voice, Dan, and great to know you'll be making a public appearance at Spudshed at 2 a.m. too.
Yeah. No, I'm off that now. I need a playlist. I need their playlist before I go. I'm easily upset.
We'll find you some REM, mate. You'll be all good.
Okay. See you, guys.
Good on you, Dan. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5. Who could it be now? None better than Michael Thompson to sum up what's going on. The latest here in our state, our wonderful state of WA with COVID-19. Tomo, good morning, mate. How are you from Nine News?
I'm really well. Clarity, great to hear your voice. Kimber, how's the view from where you are? And mate, you haven't lost it, mate. Gladys Rodriguez Coguite. That was an amazing story. Loved it.
Wasn't it?
Tomo, lovely to chat to you, mate. Now, look, there's some scary stuff going on around the world. We know Italy's now got 3,500 cases per day of COVID-19. Spain just reached 20,000 deaths, even more in the US. Please remind us how successful we are at isolation in WA.
We are, Kimber, and that's why we've got to start seeing some pullback on our restrictions, which we will start to see. Federally, we won't see it probably for 3 weeks because the Prime Minister said last week we had another month. But only one new case in Western Australia yesterday. That was in the goldfields. We've been getting single-digit numbers. And I think we all have to understand and realise that, and again, just reading a scientist talking about this morning, we may not get a vaccine. That we have to we have to understand that we may not get a vaccine. So certainly from talking to and listening to and reading a lot of medical experts are saying, it's going to have to be an isolation policy. So as we slowly pull back, so I think in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll see you can go back into groups of 10 can be outside for, you know, boot camps. We'll start to see go back to stage two and then we'll go back to stage one and then we'll slowly work. And if there is an outbreak, that will be isolated and then they'll have the tracking and then they'll go really hard. We saw the health minister yesterday say that our capacity now with ventilators is extraordinary. I mean, as far as per capita, we are in an extremely good spot. We've got a lot of wards that are empty, ready to go. So we're ready. We've done everything we need to, but we've done it so well, which is good, we don't have the number of cases, which is why elective surgery will start to happen again. Guys, the reason why they stopped that was to make all the wards free and empty for COVID patients, but because we need to get the elective surgery going because there are people who are in a lot of pain who need operations. So that'll start to move again. That'll get a lot of the medical fraternity, a lot of nurses who are out of work, believe it or not, in a pandemic, a lot from the private hospitals. That'll be a good thing. And Kimber, so I think you're right, we'll be rewarded for what we've done. We've done a really good job, but as they always say, there's no room for complacency.
Go Australia. Hey, Tom, I want you to know how important you are to our community. Not only do we watch you at night and my steppy daughter, Steppy D, she loves you, but I did a Zoom quiz night. And the first prize was an I Like Tomo cap.
Hey!
mate,
where did you get it?
Where did we get it? Well, you guys dropped it into
us when you were
doing your anniversary.
Of course.
So, you know, and as you say, you know, we've never actually had a vaccine for a coronavirus because there are many of them out there. But there are many silver linings about what's going on. I know we focus on the, you know, the negatives often, but when you look at logistically what we've done and indeed other countries around the world and the way that the public have behaved, it's actually kind of a golden age, don't you think, of a community coming together and doing what needs to be done?
Yep, couldn't agree more. Do you know, I think one of the really, I think something that I didn't think would happen, I think that the obsession with social media, which is still very strong, there's actually been a pull back to, well, I'm working from home, my partner's working from home, my son or daughter's still living home, working from home now, and starting to do things to break monotony, going out, going for a walk together, going walk, go fish, let's go for a swim, let's do a little bit of our own work, the two-on-two, and we start doing, you're seeing people at parks, two-on-two, father, daughter, you know, mother, sons, all these sorts of interactions which we don't normally do because we're going so fast. I agree. Matt, I think we have slowed down a lot, and I think we've looked at how can we entertain or get some benefit out of this, and often it's just fresh air and talking and exercise, and it's a pretty good formula.
Yeah, lots of full families exercising on places like Kings Park and Lake Mungamate. I see that. But Tomo, has the world changed forever as far as personal greetings are concerned? When all this, we say it's all over, but when things are back to more of a more normality, we'll be shaking hands, kissing and hugging again. What's your opinion there?
I think we'll go back to it because, we had the Spanish flu. There was that one, CNN did something on that terrible flu that went through China in 1911. I think we will, Claire, but it's going to take some time. Every time you look at something, I was watching The Test, which is that great series on the Australian cricket team.
Yeah.
Fantastic series. And you really notice it when guys come in, they batter well, everyone hugs each other and high fives and all that sort of stuff. Well, that doesn't happen now. I think we'll go back, but I think we'll be a bit more careful. I think it's a fallacy to say, I think there's not a lot of flus at the moment, which our medical officials are saying, this is great. This is a reflection of washing hands and the distancing. It is. It's also the fact that we're not going to concerts. We're not packing ourselves into football games and things like that. So sooner or later, we're going to get back to that. And we are going to be close. I think we'll go back to it, Claire, albeit there'll be some things that people will hold. I think washing their hands is never going to be the same, is it? So sing happy birthday and you've done the right job. None of us knew that before this, did we?
We'll be singing Stairway to Heaven for the next time washing your hands.
And very quickly, Tomo, the kids are returning to school, I believe, Mark McGowan saying, 29th. The 29th of April.
Yeah, so April 29th, that's the Wednesday. So it's the holiday on the Monday, then the teachers will go back. Those that are prepared to go back on the Tuesday, that'll be a pupil-free day. Then the kids go back. So the message, Kimber, is simple. Year 11 and 12, state government, the medical officials are saying there is extreme low risk and that they encourage very strongly that year 11 and year 12 go. But it is a choice for parents. So parents, if you're at home, you have a choice whether you want to or whether you can homeschool. There are online facilities. Schools will even give you equipment to work from home. So they'll work with you. This is not a sledgehammer approach. This is but strongly encouraged to go back because they believe it's low risk. It also helps those that have got kids that are essential workers that can still work as well. That's not the reason. No one should be blackmailing anybody in that way, but it does help as well in allowing them to still work.
The man with the most expensive memorabilia in Australia right now with no sport, it's the I like Tomo Hatt. Michael Thompson, good to talk to you, mate. All the best.
See you guys. Cheers. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Now, all of us, of course, in isolation, and everyone in WA playing their part, but the way you isolate is very different in everyone's homes, isn't it? Because some people have got their whole families there, some people have got their housemates, others are alone.
Sure.
And it's about trying to fill your time and, I guess, trying to use your time a bit differently. But I did notice that Dan the Internet, who does all of our website stuff and all our great digital things, he has got a family, lots of kids, wife. And the girls in the family decided to give him a makeover. So he, in this time of isolation, has got his hair in pigtails, full face of makeup, because that's just what you do when you're in isolation. You suddenly find yourself doing stuff thinking, I would never normally get up to this.
Yeah.
To be fair, I have seen Dan coming out of Connections at 3 a.m. looking like that. So
to this song.
Yeah.
And he loved every minute of it, I'm sure.
Oh, God. What have you been doing, KC?
Look, I've found myself doing things that I would not normally care about. I'm cleaning out the linen cupboard and going through my clothes, going through my wardrobe, just throwing everything out. I think I'm realizing I don't need all this stuff that we've talked ourselves into buying over the lifetime. But I'm like, who have I become? I'm normally quite clean, but I've become almost pedantic about getting rid of this stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've put on weight. That's what I've achieved over the last few weeks, definitely.
Yeah.
The toasted sandwich maker is getting an absolute caning. But a couple of victories.
Yeah.
Those, you know, people will be aware that I have a side hustle as manager of West Ham United on PlayStation.
On PlayStation, Fantasy World.
Claire, I sent you the celebrations after we won the European Cup.
I did enjoy the celebrations, mate. Yeah, that was sensational. I did congratulate you on that. I was wondering what my favourite football manager was up to, and didn't have to think too long.
Claire, what have you found yourself doing?
I have to say this. I DIY'd something.
Did you?
What?
Oh,
yes. We had a
you
table.
You don't do anything like that.
I've become a different person, Kimber. We're a table with a glass top. The glass broke.
Yeah, as
it's
I do.
It's an oval shape, so not easy. I went to Bunnings. I bought a handsaw and a piece of wood. I cut it in a kind of, you know, shape that fit.
Yeah.
And I stained it, and it is now working as a table.
Have you been
watching?
It looks
like a four-year-old did it.
You've been watching Better Homes and Gardens, mate?
Yeah, totally.
That's so sensational.
You don't even know yourself.
That is amazing.
What are you doing, Daisy?
Mate, there are things that you end up doing that you don't normally do. I went shopping for yeast. I've never in my life gone shopping for yeast, right? And everyone's out of yeast, right? And I finally found some yeast at Lawley's in Wembley, but it's in a 500-gram block that'll last for about 40 years because they're obviously not baking as much at this point in time, right?
So agree that we will never use the word yeast that many times on the air ever again.
Did I mention yeast?
I hate the word yeast.
Sorry, well, you're a woman, so I understand.
It sounds like the title of Margaret Fulton's autobiography. Shopping for yeast.
So we've got a very yeasty kitchen, and then I sat around for the next 2 weeks with all of the yeast baked goods and ate Laurie's food, and I, like you, Matt, put on 4 kilos.
Oh, my God, I've really put it on.
We're celebrating the fact, not prematurely, that we've gone 7 days, guys, with a new infection rate of under 1% in WA. We're doing well, but we are resorting to interesting things, Kimber.
Yeah, because you learn a lot about yourself when you're in isolation. You think you're going to be one person. You think you're going to be the one who gets up and exercises every day, and then you don't. Or maybe you think, I never do any exercise, and suddenly, look at me go.
But we want
to know, what have you found yourself doing in isolation that maybe you wouldn't normally? Lorraine and Hilbert, what are you up to?
I'm baking, and I'm not using a packet mix.
Oh, ad-libbing, are you, Lorraine?
No, I'm just making it from scratch.
So, right.
Yeah, using the old-fashioned recipe book and going for it.
That's great. Yeah, it's satisfying, isn't it, Lorraine? I mean, I say that like I do it. I use the packet mixes all the time. But there's something about, you know, when you cook it from scratch, licking the bowl seems to be a more natural process.
Yeah, and I've got 3-year-old twins and they love it. So they've been helping and we've been making Anzac biscuits and homemade pies and... Yeah, they're loving it.
Hey, Lorraine, are you going from one of the really old school cookbooks?
I am Country Women's Association.
Hey, that's what you need.
Oh, that's the one.
CWA.
Yeah, loving it.
Okay, Lorraine, it's time to boast. What's the best thing you've made over this time?
I loved my pies, and everyone went for seconds. So there was chicken satay pies and bacon and egg and cheese pies. They loved them.
See, the great position that you're in there, Lorraine, is you have a family to share it with. The problem is when I bake, like the Sultana cookies that I baked last week, there were 24 of them and now there is one. And there's only me and my partner here.
That's okay. You shared, I'm sure.
Yeah. Hey, Lorraine, before you go, do you need some yeast? I've got 450 grams over.
Okay, no worries.
We're asking what you've got up to in isolation, what you've achieved. Vicky's in Ashby. Good morning, Vicky.
Oh, good morning. What have you been doing? Well, what I've been doing, I've got a list on my fridge. I wrote a list on my fridge when I knew that this was going to happen, and I try to do a little bit of something every single day apart from my normal things.
So what are you challenging yourself to do, Vicky?
Well, I got my sewing machines out after like 30 years.
Wow.
So I'm doing a bit of that. I'm having a go at writing
learning a language, and I've got to yet learn the map. I've got to get a map out and learn maps. I'm not very good at the map. And then you've got, like, the usual, a different type of exercise. I take my dog for a jog every day, twice a day. Yeah, so many different things like that.
You're doing everything. Oh, look. Hey, which language, Vic?
Well, my son lives in Italy, so I'm trying to learn Italian, although I did start learning it a couple of years ago. When I got over there, it was like, what are they saying? Like, hello? So it was a little bit tricky, but I think if you learn a little bit every day, you can kind of retain it, and you don't realise you're saying it. So, yeah, it's cool.
Matt tried the Italian classes for a while there, didn't you, Matt? And then after a couple of weeks, just thought that if he ate pasta, that would be enough.
Yeah, no. I think it's nice if you get a little bit. The only thing I think is frightens you is when you go to speak to an Italian, you think they're going to laugh at you. But quite honestly, they don't actually really understand you.
Yeah, oh, you end up in the different regions of Italy. They all speak differently. So,
exactly. Yeah, Vicky, didn't realise we were going to be speaking to such a high achiever this
well
early
done,
in the Vic. Morning. I'll be honest with you.
You put us to shame. And Vicky, you're holding some things back because it's easy to use them all up in the first week or two.
Oh, well, yeah, because you can't do my list, you can't do every day. You just run out of time because I've still got to, you know, I've still got to cook dinner and whatever. And, you know, that's just like do the washing. Hello, you've got to find time to do that. And that's not a very good thing to do, but, you know, it's got to be done. So, yeah. Oh,
Vicky calls it her to-do list. I call it a litany of disappointment.
Oh, no. I love my list because if I ever think, oh, what am I going to do? I just go and look at my list. But, yeah. And right at the minute, the dog's, like, walking around the house with me thinking, where are we going to go for our walk? Come on.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Vicky. Yeah. Grazie, Bella. Well done.
Oh, grazie mille. Crazy Matt and Kimbo
in the morning. On Mix 94.5. One of the things that has been wonderful, and we've been feeling for a lot of artists around the world who was, you know, just had their complete calendars wiped out of live gigs, live performance and the like, which is absolutely tragic. But one thing that some of the biggest artists in the world have done is put together this concert led by Lady Gaga, a thing called One World Together. The concert raised $128 million across the weekend.
Wow.
Oh, great, because I wasn't sure how they were getting the money and stuff. I was watching it, but I wasn't aware of, like, what they were fundraising.
Yeah, the money was raised earlier, so that will go towards, you know, hopefully the care and recovery for people around the planet. But the money was raised before, so when it went to air, it wasn't a telethon. And obviously, you're restricted. You can't have big crews on big stages in big venues. No, obviously, no crowd. So it was people, either one or two or four artists together, but generally it was solos around the planet, and it was led by Lady Gaga doing a song written by Charlie Chaplin, of all people. It was Michael Jackson's favourite song called Smile. You'll get by if you smile through your fear and sorrow. Smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through. Gaga in her element there, guys. What do you reckon?
Yes, Thrall. A very, very nod to Charlie Chaplin there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really interesting watching it and seeing everybody, all the celebs in their homes broadcasting and not even with proper mic setups or anything, like just singing in their kitchen or their lounge room, so it all sounded a bit rough and ready.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, I sort of thought, oh, could we not have made it sound a little bit better? But it added to the rawness. But I would have given anything for a few more upbeat songs. It was depressing.
Everyone's going to make profound choices. You're right about the microphone setup. There are a couple of great voices got washed out by keyboards and the like. I didn't really hear Billie Eilish with her brother Phineas playing, and I couldn't really hear that great voice of Annie Lennox. But some of the other performances were brilliant, like John Legend and Sam Smith doing Stand By Me, which is pretty handy at this time, Matt.
Yeah. Mm.
Which was beautiful. Jack Johnson doing Better Together. So they picked songs that were appropriate. Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day, When September Ends. And, of course, there was the great Stevie Wonder. You need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. Hey, we all need somebody to lean on. even more meaningful. We've just lost Bill Withers just last week as well.
Yes, that's right. And listen to that voice. Oh, my so God, good. It's still clear and wonderful.
Yeah, so many of the voices travel without all of the toning and the extra auto-tune and the studio work. You know, right. It stands out when you record like that.
Yeah, another standout performance. Of course, the Rolling Stones rolled up between the ages of 72 and 78. You had the Four Stones in their own homes. At times, their version of You Can't Always Get What You Want was a little bit out of sync, but did it matter? But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. And people were remarking that Charlie Watts was playing air drums. I think he was banging on a few road cases and the like, which was pretty cute to watch the 78-year-old.
Just impressed that at their age they were able to handle the technology. Yeah. Keith, I can't find Zoom.
What's his Skype business? And when they crossed to Australia, the Delta Goodrum had a sing-along, which I thought was an unusual choice. But you've got Keith Urban doing his thing. He was stateside with his wife, of course, Nicole, and doing a Stevie Wonder, Steve Winwood classic. Bring me you high, you look.
Bring me you high, you look. Oh, yeah, that sounds like a single already.
Yeah.
Well, Keith Urban sort of created himself in to play the whole band. So he was singing at the front, but also playing guitar and bass and drums. Like, he was kind of doing everything.
It was funny because it was reminiscent of Paul McCartney in his coming up video where he just kept filming himself over and over, which was pretty cute. A long time ago. Yeah. So, 128 million raised, but a lot of people got entertained. Some of the performances, as you mentioned, Kimber, the songs were a bit somber, but the messages in between were pretty lifting. But there was a lot of tribute to to those people who've been looking after us, and we speak of the medical fraternity in the front line, which is cool.
So yeah, they're the legends in all of that.
One World customers. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5. Another day brings fun news with the occasional bizarre twist. A watch guy. She's a really good news reader, but here's watching King. Okay, well, of course, I had to have a big one to get, you know, to get back on track. I've never done a story about Paraguay before.
Oh.
What do you know about Paraguay?
Next to nothing.
They have wonderful coconut trade in Paraguay.
Well, let me tell you, the interesting fact about Paraguay is that it's a landlocked country in the middle of South America, of course, and it has the largest navy of all landlocked countries in the world.
Oh, really? How bizarre. They just don't do
any
work.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. But now let's get to the
story. Is that all you got? You're just going to give us facts.
Well, I don't want to knock the people of Paraguay, but I did look up what's Paraguay famous for, and there were like three things, and they weren't very exciting.
That's why I made up the coconuts, mate.
Yeah. So Gladys Rodriguez Duarte, she's a Paraguayan woman with some health issues, and she's fighting cancer at the moment. And she was taken to hospital with high blood pressure, and 2 hours later, she was declared dead.
Oh, dear. A sad tale. Kim was laughing at a sad tale.
Oh, well, song.
It gets better. Yeah. It gets better. Okay, so. So that Gladys's body was taken to the funeral home, and 2 hours later, poor Gladys woke up inside a body bag.
Sorry?
Oh, no.
Can you imagine that? Waking up inside, not knowing, you'd gone into hospital, obviously things went a bit pear-shaped, wake up inside a body bag, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the people at the funeral home, they're quite good at dealing with dead bodies, and they're good at looking for the signs of, you know, is this person dead?
Right,
and when they saw
Gladys
sort of wriggling around in her body bag, they thought, hang on a minute, something's not right here.
It's a miracle.
Right, so they've got Gladys out, and fortunately she is back and she's stable and she's doing okay.
Terrific.
So, of course, the attention turns to the doctor.
Yeah.
Right, and he's saying that, no, she must have gone into this sort of catatonic state where all of her functions were down and whatnot. But Gladys's husband is saying, no, it wasn't that, mate. The doctor basically was sick and tired of dealing with her and decided to declare her dead.
He's over it. And
he's launched a complaint against the doctor.
Oh, this litigation.
So, wow. Yeah, there you go. So a good story, but a tale of, you know, intrigue. But who knew? Landlocked country, big navy.
Yeah, big navy.
Yeah, and I guess she was a bit premature for her own wake.
I think she was.
There you go.
Very good sleeping bag. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
What an interesting time. And I'll tell you what, it's been a test like it has for all of us, but I'm feeling pretty good about my future and the future of my little family because we have been tested over this time. I mean, we live in a pretty small house here. There's me, of course. I've got T, my partner, Steppy D, my stepdaughter, Florence the Dalmatian, and Turbo the cat. Yes, and it is madness, but we're doing all right. We're getting through this relatively unscathed. Although I'm really jealous because everyone here has found a thing except me.
Oh, do you?
I mean, my beautiful partner T, she's been concentrating on getting her Mind Body Collective yoga classes and workshops online. That's fantastic. Steppy D has discovered GarageBand.
Oh, right. Cool. Excellent.
I've turned into like, you know, Jelena Djokovic's, no, what was her name? Was that right? Yeah.
Djokic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And I'm just encouraging that because I want her to become a superstar, DJ or something.
It's a great wormhole to jump down, though, Garrett.
Absolutely. I mean, this comes from a man that uses Lotto as a potential retirement plan. So I'm going to be pushing that.
Check the odds.
Florence has discovered the balcony.
Okay.
You know how the animals do that? Maybe people do it too. Like she knew it was there and she's been on there a few times.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden she's gone, hang on a minute, I can stick my head through these bars and see the world. And she just spends hours up there looking out at the world.
She's just out there having coffees now?
Yeah, exactly. And Turbo the cat, our black cat, he sits in his bed. And I didn't realize this before, the things I'm noticing. He goes into a trance and starts pouring the side of the bed, and it looks like he's having a pretty wonderful time in a very adult way.
Right.
But I got nothing. I've got no hobbies. I've realised I've got all these hobbies, but they amount to nothing. I've been playing the piano. I've been playing the PlayStation.
Yeah.
But none of it actually means anything. It doesn't. It doesn't end anywhere. A bit like this break. Well, I did send you a photo of my tabletop.
We were impressed.
I stepped up and did some carpentry.
I'm so proud of you, Matt. You never do any home DIY stuff even when we're not in isolation. So for you to go to Bunnings and actually buy all the things you need and put it together, I'm very proud.
And as I said to you before, that wasn't cut with a jigsaw. You can see because it's a mess.
Was that with a really cheap little saw from Bunnings or what did you do?
It was a cheap saw from Bunnings, and you know the whole time I was doing it, I'm thinking this is going to end badly. I'm going to do myself a mischief here, big time.
That's it,
Clazzy.
Yeah,
he did it with a nail file.
He did do it with a nail file. The one end looks like it.
But hey, we're doing all right,
mate.
We're doing all right.
You're going okay.
We're still smiling.
Your birthday in June, Kimber and I are putting in for a workbench for you, so you'll be all good. Oh,
thanks, Kimber. Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5. All right, Perth, it's time for your favourite game show. Kimber Cahill, come on down.
Matt Patinsky,
come on down.
That's what I'm talking about.
Next contestants on Wheel of Clancy. Now, here's everybody's favourite host, Dean Clancy.
Hey, viewers, listeners, welcome to the show. Who's excited about this? Because the current score check on the Wheel of Clancy for the year of 2020 is Matt 6, Kimber 7. Today, of course, we're playing this one. Here's song number one.
Kimber,
names as buzzers, of course. What have you got, Kimber? What do you reckon?
Well, I think it's Cher.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the damn name of the song?
I think it's Cher.
You need the
I
name
do.
Of the song to get it right.
Yeah, you have to get the full point.
A few seconds before I jump in.
Yeah.
No, I've got nothing.
Tick, tick, tick. Hey, Maddie, do you know what it is?
Is it Turn Back Time?
Oh, so hard.
I mean, Kimber. I would have said that, but what's that got to do with Got Your Back?
Face it, if you could turn back time, things would be a lot different.
Yeah. Okay, Matt 1, Kimber 0. Let's move on to song 2. Okay, has anyone got this one?
No, it sounds like a Saturday night.
Okay.
Welcome back.
Oh, damn it.
So it's, the old Welcome Back, Cotter. The next song sounds like this.
Kimber.
Kimber.
Back in black.
She's back. Well done. Now you're on the path. Got a sniff.
All right.
Yep. Tom's still not talking to you, by the way, for accusing him of not giving him a theme. Matt 1, Kimber 1, song number 4. Good luck. Here we go.
Kimber.
Kimber, what have you got?
God, it's the Travelling Wilburys.
Is it?
And Won't Back Down.
Can we give
Kimber, or not Travelling Wilburys, but called Won't Back Down? And Won't
you can't,
Back Down.
Unfortunately, that's not the name.
Yeah.
It's Tom Petty.
It's Tom Petty, yeah.
Oh, but still, it doesn't matter, right? Because I got the. No,
that's a thumbs up for Kimber, right? Kimber gets the point. I'm hearing from our adjudicator, Tom. So Kimber 2, Matt 1. Nice comeback, Kimber. Song number 5. Let's go. Good luck.
Oh, I got it, Matt.
What do you got, Matty?
Is it Baby Come Back?
It is.
Nice one.
Baby Come Back, featuring the guy who played Ridge on TV.
Oh, really?
He was in that band.
Oh, Bold and the Beautiful.
Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, that's a brilliant bit of trivia.
What we've got here is Matt 2 and Kimber 2. A little bit of history here. Of course, all of these songs have got your back with Mix 94.5's Got Your Back. Are we ready for our next song?
Yes.
Names is Buzzers. Good luck, everyone.
Kimber.
Oh.
Baby
Kimber.
Got Back. Dun, 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 dun.
There it is. I like big butts and I cannot lie. Sir Mix-a-Lot right there. Well done, KC.
Oh, phew. Oh, I've got to try and keep the lead. Matt really got me last year, so this year I'm trying to maintain it.
Kimber 8, Matt 6. Sir Mix-a-Lot there from 1992.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Now, you guys know my dad, Brian, is a top bloke.
He's a
good bloke. He'll do anything for anyone. He's a super family man. Nothing we ask for is too much. He'll go out of his way for you anytime he can. He's hilariously unique. And today he turns 70.
Hey, happy birthday.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Big milestone, Brian.
It is a milestone. And I was kind of hoping that for his 70th, it would be different, you know, because I wanted to have a big family party and get all his school friends around. You know, he's got mates that he's had for 60 years. Mm. And I thought, let's have a big, you know, celebration. But COVID parties are a far cry from that, aren't they, really? They're not the same. And so I'm going to go visit him today, like, from the front lawn.
Right.
But I don't know what else I can do. Like, I want to make it sort of special. He'll remember that he spent his 70th in isolation. But I guess I want to do something cool other than just, like, I can bake for him, I guess. But how do I make it more impressive when I arrive at the house?
Perhaps you could put his name down to be one of the first people to test out a vaccine when we get it.
Great idea.
The gift that keeps on giving.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Brian the sacrificial lamb.
Put this weird stuff in your body.
Well, your old man's been a painter for a long time, right? He had like a long career as a painter.
Yes, he was a painter his whole life.
Why don't you all just like get full body paint done and do the drive-by happy birthday? That's different.
Oh, that's nice.
Happy birthday, Dad.
That's a brilliant idea. It'll totally creep him out. But wow, body painting, that's something. I like
perhaps
the
you
idea.
Could organise another little job at your place for him.
Stop it.
No, not again.
There's so many things he could be doing at my house to help me out, as he always does. And he won't care. Like, he's such a cruisy dude. He's such a legend. But, you know, he'll just be happy that I call him and say happy birthday. But I don't know. I've got a storage room full of costumes here too. I'm wondering whether I should get a costume and just rock up and be stupid on the front lawn.
Or after all of his years of working at Rotto, you could send him there. There's no one there.
There's no one.
Oh, God. That's true. Go back to Rotto, Dad.
Happy birthday,
right,
Brian.
I'll work on it.
Oh,
I'll work
sweet.
On it.
Whatever you
happy
do.
Happy birthday, Brian.
We're singing to the great man.
Yes. Oh, that's
nice.
As you go past. Well done.
Happy birthday, Daddy-O.